Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Rishi Sunak's crisis hit bid to return to 10 Downing Street lurched into further controversy today amid allegations party candidates and officials gambled on the timing of the election with the benefit of insider information. The British Prime Minister will be among several party leaders facing a two-hour grilling on BBC television tonight, and with 2 weeks to go to polling and several polls predicting electoral wipeout for the Tories, Conservative MPs in the north of England claim that they're being abandoned by the party. And it's to the northwest of England we go now, and to our reporter Barry Lenehan, who's there. Barry, you're on the road to Westminster, but where did you end up today?
Yeah, well, yesterday I spoke to Claire Byrne from Grimsby, Cormac, and rather than continue the journey south, I veered west, and three changes of a train later ended up in Burnley. And let me tell you, one yearns for Limerick Junction when standing on a desolate platform in Halifax. But all eyes in Burnley, of course, on Harry Kane and the three lines on his shirt rather than the road to Westminster this evening. But why come to Burnley? Well, you'll recall as far back as 2001, the infamous race riots. After that, there was a significant presence for the far-right British National Party, the local authority here. In 2016, Burnley voted 66% for Brexit. And in 2019, this Labour stronghold, for the first time in over a century, turned blue, electing Conservative MP Anthony Higginbottom to represent Burnley. But Labour needs just a 0.1% swing to win this constituency back. It's deemed its most winnable seat across Britain. So a real test of the political temperature here. And when I walked past the Royal Dyche pub in Burnley, named after the former Burnley manager Sean Dyche, into the centre of town, I found higher levels of occupancy in the shops than elsewhere in the north of England where I visited it so far. But on the edges of the town centre, real deprivation. Burnley, one of the most deprived local authority areas across Britain. And I also found in the centre of town, like elsewhere, a real weariness with British politics.
I have yet to be impressed by any government during their campaign to get into power. They promise the earth and deliver nothing. Nobody ever knocks on my door and asks me what I think, probably because they don't want to hear what I think. I think there should be an alternative party. Don't vote for anybody party to give politicians an idea of how the public really think about politicians. Because once the election is over and whoever gets in, I can't do anything about it, and they won't do anything they've said they're going to do. So what's the point? It's a complete farce. It really is. We're allowed to vote in government because it keeps the general public and the population happy, and it makes them think they've had an influence on what goes on. The reality is, that's a total load of tosh. The people in power should be the ones who can do the job best. It's like me voting for you as a brain surgeon. Would I let you work on my brain? Would I not? No. So why can't we have the best person who's the best Prime Minister?
When did you come to this realisation?
Quite a while ago. Just the futility of it all. I don't understand why. You know, they're going around saying, we're not going to put up taxes. So how the hell are we going to pay for things? I've just walked into town, about a mile and a half from where I live, and it's a bloody tip. There's rubbish everywhere, trees won't cut in, benches are falling down. I'm ashamed of my town. I'm ashamed of the country. I'm ashamed of the system that I'm expected to vote for.
A lot of things are main issue with Burnley. Housing crisis, homelessness, alcohol and drug problems. So I think we need a change of government in the UK. So Labour's the best one to have, I think.
Best out of a bad bunch, probably. Yeah.
Are you inspired by Keir Starmer, the potential next Prime Minister?
Not really. I don't think anybody really likes him, but he's all we've got, isn't it, really?
There's a lot of houses that are, like, closed with borders up, and we have a lot of homeless people who really need the houses and they just won't house them. It's especially bad when you're walking around town and you've got just like people begging for money and we've got houses available for them, but they won't do anything for them. I think it's a bad place when you're just trying to do a bit of shopping. You've just got people begging you for money, especially in this economy when we don't have money ourselves. So it's just difficult at the moment for everyone.
Cost of living crisis is hitting hard.
It's especially difficult to try and find a job as well. So anything that comes is better than nothing.
Inflation, pensions, I think the environment as well. What's going on in the environment? We want to see that improve. And I think the danger at the moment is that it's going to go on the back burner in order to make other things work, but we can't afford for it to do that. So I think that's probably the main one for me, get the environment right.
Are you hearing enough of that in the campaign, or the main parties debating it enough?
I think they've all put it on the back burner a little bit, the Tories particularly. Not enough.
And what about Burnley? What does it need?
Burnley needs a good refresh. It needs a good investment.
I just feel as though whoever takes over the next government want to invest more in the infrastructure of Burnley Centre, because it's going downhill, especially the market.
They all rob you.
Look after themselves.
They just look after themselves, don't they? Not worth voting for.
And what would be the main issue that they should fix around here if they could?
Everything. Everything. They all promise everything, don't they, at elections, and then give you nothing. It's all bright. They're fixing up roads at the moment. Potholes are all over. They're mending them now, but it's only because they all ask your votes, isn't it? They all want to put it down. They've done this and they've done that, but you never see them from... They'll all be round knocking on doors for election, then you won't see them for 12 months, you know.
My goodness, that is remarkable in how dejected they sounded, those people in Lancashire. Back to Burnley we go, because Barry Lennon is still with us. It is a red wall seat, Burnley, that Labour desperately wants back, Barry, isn't it? Is it all going according to plan for Keir Starmer, do they think?
No, the town's Muslim community is estimated to number around 11,000. Others put it up as high as around 16,000. And that community is turning its back on Labour over its handling of the Israel-Gaza war. In particular, the lack of an immediate call for a ceasefire from Keir Starmer and initial comments from the Labour leader that Israel had the right to withhold power and water from Gaza. 11 local councillors have left Labour in Burnley over this issue, the biggest proportion of resignations over the Middle East than anywhere in England. And voters told me that this was high on their priority, that they would not be voting for Labour as a result, including this woman I met in Burnley.
I don't know if I should say this on the radio. I wouldn't vote for Labour or Conservative. So I am trying to see what the other party can offer, because both of them have been quite disappointing, to be honest. Conservative, obviously they've been in power for a while and things haven't been going well. And with Labour, I'm really disappointed to see the stance that they've had with the conflict with Israel and Palestine. Same with Conservative, but there's a lot more that you can blame Conservative for. But Labour's stance on that as well, I'm kind of disappointed.
But you've expected a lot more from the party?
Yeah, because we've been voting for Labour for years, and this is the icing on the cake for me, so Labour won't get my vote.
They've had a mass exodus, I think, locally.
And I'm glad they took that stand that shows that, you know, they've got correct morals and humanity, but with the hierarchy in the Labour Party, I think they need to check the moral compass, to be honest.
And when you see the support for Palestine from Ireland, for instance, from Spain, from Norway.
For example, boycotts, the brands, you know, I've started using more Irish brands, more Scottish brands, because of the support that we've seen for the people of Gaza and Palestine. Because it's not, you can't call it a war because both parties don't have the same tools. Russia and Ukraine was a war, and I felt that the pain for the Ukrainians with what they were going through, and I feel the pain for the Palestinians now. And I think that a lot of the Western countries haven't really done their part in what they could do. For what they did for Ukraine, we expect the same for any other race and any other country.
Is there any way the Labour Party can rebuild bridges with the Muslim community in this area?
I think that's the first stand that they're going to have to take, is promise to take action. you know. What can you do differently that the Conservative haven't done when it comes to this situation? The war's been going on for longer than 6 months and no one's opted out for a ceasefire. And Keir Starmer himself in an interview turned around and said, this is not the right platform to talk about it. It is. Any platform you're on, he should be talking about it. And that would be a start from him, I think. And I think a lot of people are feeling that way, to be honest. I think it's gone on long enough and it needs to stop. A ceasefire needs to be called from the right people up top and then see what kind of difference that they can make. And I think that will make it easier for people to vote then, I think.
Now, speaking to the British Labour Party, insisted that they do want to see a ceasefire in the Middle East. But as a result of the sentiment expressed by that woman, by the Muslim community in Burnley, this seat here has gone from a 90% chance of winning for Labour's candidate, Ollie Ryan, to one that many people aren't willing to call at all. The local political watcher, Mike Waite, telling me this race is simply too close to call. And if it's not Labour who benefits, well, an 80-year-old former MP for the Liberal Democrats standing for the party again is Gordon Birtwistle.
Personally, I think they'll get up to probably 35, 40 members. I'd like to get back to what we were in the coalition of 56, but whether they will or not, I don't know. It's very, very much up in the air as this election now. It's not as cut and dried as people think.
The polls say Labour have this unassailable majority, though.
Well, they may have, but there hasn't been a vote cast yet. There must be some thought.
Sorry, slight mix-up there looking at electoral prospects for the party, but here he is, Gordon Birtwistle, on Gaza.
I mean, this is the number one Labour target seat in the whole country. I mean, if we take this off him, I mean, Keir Starmer will certainly get egg on his face, but this is their number one target seat.
And you were a rank outsider at the start. How do you feel now?
I was 100-1 at the beginning. You can't get a bet on me now. I think I'm down to about 8-1. I feel confident. I've got the backing of the Muslim community, which is very large in Burnley, because of Gaza and the Lib Dem stance on Gaza and my own particular stance on Gaza. Ever since it started, I've been calling for bilateral ceasefire, and I'm horrified with what's going on. I mean, I'm a father and a grandfather, and I can't bear to see babies in body bags. This, to me, is completely unacceptable. Anywhere in the world, but Gaza in particular.
And the Muslim community here in Burnley estimated to number around 11,000, and there have been lots of high-profile Labour defections in this area as well. You've asked them for your vote. How were you received?
Well, all the mosques last Friday read out a statement asking all the people that went to the mosque, and it was Eid as well, so they were packed, to vote for me, because of Palestine. Vote for Palestine by voting for Gordon Birtwistle. And that is a statement read out in every mosque in the constituency.
What are former Labour Party members saying to you about this, and indeed current Labour Party members in the area?
Well, the ones that left and went independent, they're helping me. They're on the streets helping me. The current Labour members, there isn't, in the town of Burnley, a Muslim Labour Party member. They all resigned. So they're down to the indigenous community, members of the Labour Party, and they're working hard to try to get Oliver Ryan elected.
Are you surprised by Keir Starmer's handling of this issue and the Labour Party's handling of this issue?
I'm horrified. I'm not surprised. I am horrified that Keir Starmer can say on video it's OK to turn the water off and the gas off. I mean, that's horrendous. Not allowing water, not only to human beings, but to living things in Gaza, to me, you can't get much lower than that.
And that's Gordon Birtwistle of the Liberal Democrats there. You touched upon the prospects of for Reform UK and the Conservatives when you were in Grimsby yesterday, Barry. Well, what of the Liberal Democrats? I mean, can they make any inroads in this election?
It seems unclear. They're polling at an average of around 10 or 11%, which is slightly lower than what the party garnered in 2019, which saw them come back with 11 seats. Some are saying they could double their seats. Some are even saying they could end up as the largest opposition party. Here's what Gordon Birtwistle thinks.
Personally, I think they'll get up to probably 35, 40 members. I'd like to get back to what we were in the coalition of 56, but whether they will or not, I don't know. It's very, very much up in the air as this election now. It's not as cut and dried as people think.
The polls say Labour have this unassailable majority, though.
Well, they may have, but there hasn't been a vote cast yet. There must be some thought, some doubt in the mind that they can hang on.
Do you think voters see the Lib Dems as a viable alternative? Your national polling figures seem rather static.
nationally and locally are the two completely different things. I mean, I won this seat back in 2010 on one issue. I chained myself to the railings of the A&E in Burnley, demanding that it wasn't sent to Blackburn. I got elected on that.
And your party leader, Ed Davey, looking at revisiting membership of the EU, is that something that you think is relevant around here?
I had an engineering company. I've been an engineer all my life, and I can't understand. Well, as an engineer, having an engineering company, I wouldn't fall out with my biggest customer. And basically, Boris fell out with our biggest customers. I mean, and just told us a pack of lies, and now we're suffering for it. I think a lot of them now regret it.
Okay, Sinead Gordon, Bert Whistle. So that's Burnley, Barry. Where next for you now on the election trail?
Yes, London finally calling on the road to Westminster, where I'll be meeting the Labour candidate in a key constituency, a candidate who has strong links to the Irish country music legend, Philomena Begley.
OK, watch out, London. Barry Lenehan is on the way, and we'll hear from Barry tomorrow on the programme. Thank you, Barry.